There we go. Kids, head on to your class. So that was actually probably my fault because I probably confused you guys when I walked up here. That's my fault. Good morning, church family. It's good to see you. And kids, it was great to see y'all. You're already gone. I look up and you're out of here. And if you are joining us online this morning, it's good to, we're just glad that you could join us there where you are. Just to give you a quick update, you can see that I'm here this morning, right? So that means I'm not in Africa like I thought I could possibly be this week. But we do have a team there. So the team arrived safely. And now there were complications, as there oftentimes are in mission trips. They, in customs, took about half of the medical supplies that we took over, kind of confiscated those. And we're still praying they might release them, but we haven't heard word on that yet. But they're pressing on. They've been to two villages so far already, and more than 100 people have already been saved just in the past 2 days there in Uganda. So we're thankful for that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And looking forward to hearing even more reports as the week goes on. So just be remembering to pray for brothers and sisters that are ministering in Uganda right now. Again, a hard-hit country in recent days. This morning, in fact, to give you an idea of where we're headed this morning, heavy on my heart, and I know as yours as well, has been what's going on all over the world around us. When you look, again, you watch the news for just a minute, and you just see you're flooded with different things happening in different places around the world, and different struggles and different trials and difficulties. And it's hard. It's hard to see. It's hard to watch. And so what's been on my heart is this idea of love. How can we tangibly demonstrate and express and live out the love of Jesus that is in our hearts and let it pour out to those that are around us. I remember a few years ago I was in Uganda. And again, it's not uncommon when we're in these villages for people to thank us for coming. And so oftentimes after somebody would come through one of our medical clinics or we would encounter someone there in the villages of Uganda, they would say something like, you know, thank you so much for the medicine that you brought us, or thank you for the gifts, or thank you for the food, or anything like that. But there was one time I remember specifically, I was in one of the clinics and somebody had just come through and they grabbed my hand, they looked me in the eyes and they said, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us. And that stuck with me because it basically showed that they understood that the reason that we were there was as a direct result of the love that we had for them. And I can tell you that from my very first mission trip when I was 12 years old to the different places that God has allowed me to be a part of, every new place I go to, I fall in love with. I fall in love with the people and the culture and the families. So I have a deep love for people, but the love that I have for people pales in comparison to the love that God has for them. I mean, it doesn't even compare to the love that their Creator has for them. So if God, who created us, loves the world and is so deeply concerned with the things that are happening in the world, then how much must his heart be breaking right now when you look around the things that are happening in Afghanistan and the things that are happening in Haiti in the aftermath of the earthquake and things that are happening in Burma with the unrest and the starvation, all the things that are happening there. How much must the heart of God be breaking for the needs that are all around us? And so what's been on my heart then is, okay, Lord, what's my response need to be? What is my response I can't just turn my eyes away from what I've seen, what I've heard. So how can then I respond? And how can we as a church respond? And so this morning, if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to the epistle of 1 John. So not the Gospel of John, but the letter 1 John towards the end of your Bible. Now, last year, I forget the exact dates, last year we actually walked through the entire letter of 1 John. We did it as a church family. We walked through it together. I think we spent about 11 or 12 weeks. And the passage that we're going to look at right now, actually Pastor Kevin did a great job walking us through. So my purpose this morning is not to walk through every aspect of this passage, But to pull out a few truths that jumped out to me as I was reading it this week, as it relates to how we love one another and then what our response can be now in what's going on around us in the world. Now, what's interesting about 1 John is that it's a short letter written to believers. And what's interesting, though, is that it's only 100 verses. And out of those 100 verses, the word love appears 46 times. So there's something to be said about God's love and the love of believers and for the world around us. So let's go ahead and read this passage together, and we'll see what God has for us this morning. So 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. And everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16. By this we know love, that he, that is Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Church, let's pray. Well, King Jesus, we come before you this morning. We lay our lives down at your feet as an offering of worship. Lord, and as we open up your word, would you take your word and would you plant it deep inside of our hearts? And would you bring forth the fruit of righteousness that only it can bring in us? And we'll give you all the glory for it in Jesus. It's in your great name we pray. Amen. Amen. In verse 11, he starts with a reminder, to the believers. And it says, for this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, meaning it's not new. Like this, I'm not teaching you new stuff. You know this. You've heard this ever since the beginning. And what is that? That we should love one another. So if you're a parent, you know that there are times when you have to continually, day by day, moment by moment, remind your kids of things that you've already told them a dozen times before. We've had conversations like this in my house, like a legitimate conversation where I'll come up to my daughters who are fighting and I'll like, girls, I told you, no more fighting, no more fighting. And they'll be like, well, sorry, Dad, we thought you meant that yesterday. No, every day. Every day, no fighting, all day, every day, ever. Like, no, like that should be understood. That's like an expectation that we have. It doesn't expire, right? Just like, oh, you know, we can fight today because it's a new day. No, never, no. No more fighting. And I feel like we have that conversation or one like it all the time with our daughters, just trying to remind them of things. I know when I was a kid, my mom had a special way of reminding us. It's not what you think. It's actually more crafty than that. So being a pastor's kid, we would often have people in our home or we'd be out to dinner with someone, and my mom, would again tell us, guys, be on your best behavior. That was an expectation that we had. Well, once you sit down in a restaurant, kids have a difficult time being on the best behavior. And so we'd be sitting there and my mom would be talking with someone. And true story, if she was here, I would have her stand and tell the story, but she's not here, so you just have to trust me and you can ask her later when she comes back. So she'd be having a conversation with someone, and we would be acting up or goofing off or doing something that was disrespectful or embarrassing. So she would quietly take her fork and put it under the table. And so in the mid-conversation, with a smile, she would be jabbing us with the fork, like in my kneecap, right? And so like, but she somehow, she could keep a straight face and do this at the same time. So she's like, Susan, that is wonderful to hear. You know, she's jabbing us like she's having two conversations at once. She's not saying anything to me, But at the moment, I know exactly what she's saying. You better stop, or else when we get home, there's going to be another conversation to have. I'm not sure if your mom ever reminded you with a fork, or she had other ways of helping you help it flip-flops. You'll have to tell me that story later. But nevertheless, as parents, you know that we have to remind our kids of things, and not just kids. We have to all be, if we're honest, we all have to be reminded of things over and over. And that's what's happening here, is that he's reminding them of something that they already know, but he's bringing it back to their memory, that this is not a new message. This is not something that is something that is new. It's something that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And he gives an example. Again, I won't walk through the whole story. Pastor Kevin did a great job of that last year. You could look at that. But basically, you have a situation where Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, were giving offerings to the Lord. And Abel offered his, a righteous offering with a pure motive before the Lord, and Cain didn't. It wasn't so much what they offered, it was the heart that they offered it with. And so they went before the Lord, and Cain's was rejected, and Abel's was accepted. Cain got jealous and angry and mad, and so what did he do? He murdered his brother out of hatred in his heart. And so what John's trying to write here as a reminder is, don't harbor that hatred in your heart, which ultimately led Cain to actual murder. And so it says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But here's where we have to be careful, because we could read a passage like this and say, okay, don't have hatred in your heart, check. Don't murder people, check. Love others, got it. All right, I'm good. Let's move on. But here's where we have to be careful, because the Christian message and the Christian life and Christian love is not just about not murdering people, right? If that was the case, that'd be a pathetically low standard, right? Just don't go around killing people and murdering people, and then we're fulfilling the love of Christ. That's not it at all. I mean, can you imagine if I got a letter and I'll just pick somebody. I said, hey, babe, I got this really sweet letter from Dan Doyle. And it says, you know, dear Jared, you are okay to be around. I don't hate you and I don't want to murder you. Love, Dan. Like, that would be a terrible letter to write. So, like, don't write me that letter. That's not much love coming out of that, right? Because the Christian standard of love, it rises way above that. And this is what we're going to see. And that's the example that we're going to see ultimately is the example of Christ. And so the core truth today for us as we walk through this passage is this, that the foundation of our love for others is Christ's love for us. The foundation of our love for others is Christ's love for us. And that's what we get to see beginning in verse 16. So it says, by this, or in this way, we know what love is, that Jesus laid down his life for us. The first thing, characteristic of Christ-like love, is that love is sacrificial. In fact, we have to look no further than just the life of Jesus, and that the way in which he came, the reason why he came, and what he did for us. That lays out all that we have to know about love. If you look over in chapter 4 of 1 John, it lays it out beautifully. So 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. What is that? That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Right, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Jesus came sacrificially, giving up his life. So we see that word that he was the propitiation for our sins. Literally, that means that he inserted himself to absorb the wrath of God. He satisfied the wrath of God that you and I deserved because of our sin. He took that on Himself. He sacrificed Himself for us. And that direct result of that is that we now get to live. It says, so that we could live through Him. So Jesus gives up His life so that we can find ours in Him. And that is the good news of the gospel. And so if you're ever living your moment day by day in your life and saying, you know, I just don't feel the love of God right now. I just don't feel like God. You have to look no further than the sacrifice of Jesus to see the love of God for us. But the problem is that so many times, and this is kind of a side note, that our circumstances around us kind of scream louder than our ability to understand and hear the voice of God. And so we kind of get caught up in what's happening. And again, I understand that it's real in the moment. But those things often, in those circumstances, we allow to get in the way of our understanding of the truth of God's sacrificial love for us. So how do we know that God loves us? Well, God demonstrated His love for us. That's what Romans 5:8 says, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we have to look no further than the cross of Jesus to see this love, this sacrificial love demonstrated for us. Well, again, quickly, number two, another characteristic of Christ-like love is that love is selfless. Love is selfless. Look at verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So notice the question. Notice that progression. If you have the world's goods, you see someone in need, and yet you close your heart to him, then how in the world? If we just understood that love is demonstrated by giving, and we don't, then how can God's love abide in us? And the answer here, what he's giving, is that it can't. The love of God is not living in us or pouring out of us if we're closing off our hearts. So we're talking about this sacrificial love that you give of yourself, but it also means that it's selfless and that it's going to require something for us to give. You know, I've heard it said before that sometimes it's easier to say, I'll give you my life, than it is to say, I'll give you my coat. Or, yeah, I'll die for you, but I'm not going to actually be able to give you anything that you need in the moment. I've heard other people say, I've found lots of men who will die for their family, but not very many men who will actually live for their family. Right? That's the truth sometimes, is that when we actually begin to see it actually happen, and we see like it tangibly require something of us, then things like that becomes more difficult. Well, what is it that we're called to give? What is he speaking of here? It says, if anyone has the world's goods. Now, what it's not saying is, it's not saying worldly goods. It's not saying things that are of the world or worldly or bad or it's actually just speaking of material things. Like, if you have material goods, that means things that you are needed to sustain human life, right? So if you have been blessed with those things, you have food, you have water, you have shelter, you have some of those basic necessities, and then you see somebody else who doesn't have those things, that's what we speak. So we're speaking of two different groups here. Someone who has things, the basic necessities of life, and then someone else who has legitimate need, right? And I say legitimate need because we do encounter situations where, you know, it's hard to tell whether things are legitimate or not. And I get that. And we live in this world right now where there are scams and there's all kinds of things. But he's not really referring to those. He's not referring to, let's try to find our way out of how we cannot help. He's saying, let's look for what are somebody who has a legitimate need, where they don't have some of these basic things that they need and that we have. So he says, whoever has the world's good, these material possessions, these resources needed. And then it says, if he closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Now, this is what's interesting, is that he changes in here from this general, brothers and sisters, to specific. If it says, if anybody sees his brother or sister. So now it's not just this general, generic thing like, oh yeah, there's need all around the world. It's like, what about that person? Yeah, there is need all around the world, but what about the person that's right beside you? What about the person that's right here in where we're living? So it gets very specific. Somebody said that there's a danger in just viewing people in general instead of specific. If you view everybody in general, meaning, yeah, there's need all around the world, then it's easier to kind of close off your heart than when it's somebody that's specific, when there's a name and there's a face right in front of you. And they said, be careful, because loving everybody in general may be an excuse for loving nobody in particular. Loving everybody in general might sometimes be an excuse for not loving anybody in particular. So he says, if you see your brother or your sister and you have the ability to help, but instead you close your heart off to them, how does God's love abide in you? And the answer is that it doesn't. Now, he gives a specific warning here. It says, closes off his heart against him. All right, so this is important. The word for heart is the strongest word in the biblical language for compassion and love and emotion and feeling. And so he's saying, if to close off, and again, the word literally means to like shut a door. So you're shutting up, you're closing off a door of compassion that would otherwise respond to something that or a need that somebody has. So you see a need, you see that there's something that's necessary, and instead of responding to it, we're closing off our heart and our compassion. We're closing off the door, kind of like that, well, if I just don't see it, then I won't have to think about it. Right, so like right now, well, I mean, the stuff that's going on in Afghanistan right now, it's awful. It's, you know, I'm just going to turn this off because I just can't see that anymore. I'm closing off so I don't have to think about it anymore. It says if somebody closes off his heart, it's putting away, it's shutting out a specific need that you know exists. Now, God addresses this with his people in the Old Testament. If you want to turn in Deuteronomy chapter 15, God giving his people some very specific instructions on how to respond. How can we respond when there's legitimate need around us, when there's poor among us, or when there's things that we see on the news or around? What are some ways that we can respond, or we should respond? So Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. And it says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord God, your God, is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against the poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart, and you say, the seventh year, the year of release, is near, but your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all of your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in your land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, and to the needy and to the poor in your land. The president of my seminary, Danny Aiken, said it this way. He said, our hearts control our hands. A closed heart will always result in closed hands, and is evidence that your heart has never been opened to the gospel of God's grace poured out in Jesus. So it says, our hearts control our hands. So when we close off our heart of compassion, that automatically closes off our hands of giving and help and love. What I know is that there's needs all around us. So specifically in context, he's referring to believers taking care of believers, right? Now, that's not all that we're called to do. We're called to help every single person that we know that is in need. Specifically, yes, those that are amongst the household of faith, but not just that. We're called to reach out and help all of those around us. We're called not to close off our hearts and our eyes, but to open them up. So I begin praying this week, all right, Lord, so what does that look like for me? So I begin to pray kind of this prayer several days over this week, and that is, Lord, would you open my eyes to the needs that are around me? Like, open my eyes to the needs. Open my heart with your love and your compassion so that I will open up my hands to meet the needs that I see. That's kind of what I've been praying. Lord, open my eyes, open my heart, and open my hands. And that's not a prayer that I just want to pray personally. I want us to be praying that as a body, as a church family. I was talking to Frank Sowers, who's on our leadership team recently, and he said, Jared, you know, man, God has blessed us at Hope Valley with some incredibly just generous, gracious people. And I said, you're absolutely right. He really has blessed us in our body with people that have a desire and a heart to give. Every single time we've talked about, you know, hey, this different need that we see or find, and it's our church has just responded overwhelmingly to those specific needs. But not every need is monetary, right? Not every need is for money. In fact, there's so many other ways that we can and should be helping one another. There's physical needs, and there's spiritual needs, and there's emotional needs. There could be that there's a need that somebody has, and they just need you to be there for them. They just need your presence to sit and open up and free some space on your schedule so you can just be with them. Like, there's been times that I've met with even some of you guys in the room when I didn't have like any awesome words to say. All I could just be there and say, listen, like, I'm praying for you. I can read scripture with you, but I don't have any like elaborate wisdom for you other than just I love you and I'm here. And sometimes that's all that somebody may need, is just that presence, just you to be there with them, to open up your home or open up your life to let somebody in, to be there in that moment of need that they have. And so we're called to not close our hearts, but to open up our hearts to the needs that are all around us. The third thing that we see is that the third sort of Christ-like characteristic is that love is sincere. Love is sincere. Look at verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or in talk or speech, but in deed and in truth. In deed and in truth. The word for love is the word agape. As you know, we've talked about this before, the word agape refers to a selfless, giving, sacrificial love. It's not a feeling, it's an action. It's not something that my emotions got stirred up. It's something that's very concrete and specific. It is a love that acts for the good of somebody else. That's what agape love literally means. It's a love that acts for the good of someone else. And so when he says, let us not love in word or in talk, here's what that tells me. That tells me that there is a danger for you and me to only love people in speech and word. Right? That's the danger that we have. There's a danger to just kind of say that we love or post that we love without actually displaying that love. And so he says, be careful that we don't just love in word or in talk or speech. Instead, that we love in deed and in truth. It says in James chapter 2, verse 5, 15 through 17, it says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving them the things for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We say the exact same thing about love. If we say with our mouth, oh yeah, you know, I love you and I care for you and I'm here for you, but we're not actually displaying that love, living that out, actually caring, actually showing up, then do we actually have any love at all? So as I was reading this week, in sort of my devotions, I came across a passage that I've seen, you know, read dozens of times before, but there's a phrase that jumped out to me, and I want to share it with you guys. It's in Hebrews chapter 13. So Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to read the first three verses, and then I just want to share what God kind of impressed in my heart, okay? So Hebrews 13, it says, let brotherly love continue. That means that he's writing this letter. There is love there. There's brotherly love there. So let it continue. Continue in that love. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. We don't have time to unpack any of that, but it seems like there's situations where we can actually display hospitality and love, and maybe that's not, you don't even know who that person is, and maybe it's even an angel. Like there's a moment in the gospel where Jesus said, in Matthew 25, I believe it is, where he talks about the future day when he tells his people, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me food, and when I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and when I was naked, you clothed me. And disciples will say, well, when was that? When were you hungry? When were you thirsty? When did that actually happen? He said, when you did it for the least of these, you did it. You actually did it to me. You did it unto me. And so it's this principle, this concept that, yeah, we're serving others, but in a real way, in a very real way, we're actually doing it unto the Lord. Or maybe it's an angel that's there, not actually a stranger at all. It says, so show hospitality, which ironically, this is an interesting, the word, you know, I know this, but the word hospitality literally means lover of strangers, right? So it's a call that we all have to love those, even those that are not in our circle of friends or acquaintances. But then verse 3, this is what jumped out to me. It says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. And those who are mistreated, since you are in the same body. All right, so here's kind of what jumped out to me. The word, as though you're in prison with them. As though you're mistreated with them. And so, again, I'm watching the news and I'm seeing all this stuff around us kind of come crumbling down. And it was like the Lord said, okay, Jared, take this, what you just now read, and I want you to insert yourself in their situation right now. So I got message this week from, you know, Pastor Ling in Burma, and I'm just trying to wrap my mind. So I sent the message, I sent the email to Nathan and to our and Heath and to Kevin and Frank, saying, guys, like, would you just pray for them? Like, my heart's just overwhelming right now with what's going on there. And so he began to share about the lockdowns that I've already shared with you guys about before, and we've sent help over there for that. And the need for food. And then he began to talk about the military coup and the military takeover in their nation and all the people that were struggling. And then he began to share that then that last week the monsoon floods began, and he's sending pictures where they're literally like up to their wet chest in water. And I'm like, I can't wrap my mind around all this stuff. And it was like the Lord saying, okay, Jared, so put yourself there. Like right now, put yourself there. And then I began to get the messages out of Haiti after the earthquake, and the death toll began to rise, and Jeffy and those guys began to say, yeah, I had some family members that were under the rubble. And I began to just, like, again, all that weight is kind of like, I feel like the Lord was saying, okay, Jared, put yourself there. Like, what if that were you? And so I want to put that to us, like, church, what if it's us? What if it's us, right? What if it's my home? What if it's your home that's in crumbles right now? Still looking for family members 2 weeks later. Like what if it's you that are in Afghanistan? What if it's our family that's in Afghanistan right now, where the people are being just torn to pieces by what's happening there? Right? So I just got a message this week. I think it was Walter Wade who sent me the message and said that, like, right now they're hunting people down, going door to door, searching for people. They're actually looking on, like, their phone, and if they find a Bible app on their phone, they're killing them right there. Like, so what if that's us? Take ourselves to their shoes. It says, remember those who are in prison as though you're in prison with them. Remember those who are mistreated as if you're mistreated with them, because you're in the same body. So the principle is this. We are one body. We might be here and they might be on the other side of the world right now, but we're the same body. We're all united in Christ. And so when they suffer, what does that mean? We suffer. When they're persecuted, we're persecuted. When they struggle, we struggle. But the temptation for me is to turn it off, turn my head, and try not to think about it. But that's not how we're called to love. That's not the love of Christ poured out in us. So I asked my friends, Ling in Burma, and Jeff D. and McDonald, to just kind of give us a like they reached out and said, "Hey, could you help? Could you help us in some way?" And my answer is just yes. I don't know what that looks like yet, but yes, the answer is yes. We're going to help. So I asked them to put together just a little video. Just send me some video. I kind of smushed them all together. The situation in Burma, Myanmar, the situation in Haiti, and then, of course, the situation in Afghanistan. Though we don't have people on the ground at this minute, the Southern Baptist Convention does. A friend of mine, of my dad's, is there and working, and so we have avenues already put in place that we can filter funds and help and support to them. But just take a minute just to listen to the heart of our friends, our brothers and sisters right now that are in these places.
Hi everyone, this is Leng Choi, speaking from Yangon, Myanmar, Southeast Asia. I'm calling you to praise and help Myanmar.
Hello Hope Valley Church family. You guys know everything that's happened here in Haiti.
We have been in Haiti since Thursday afternoon. And a couple of weeks ago, there have been an earthquake in the south part of Haiti.
Especially in the south. And Jeremy, where my family is living.
I hope you all are watching with sorrow and deep concern about what is happening in Myanmar. Internet blackouts, news and media forced to stop, telecommunication cut off, banks and market are closed. Million people protest peacefully against the cop and thousands of people are arrested. Hundreds of people are killed.
Gangster, COVID-19, president die, earthquake, so many deaths, maybe 3,000, thousands of thousands injuries. So guys, it's very terrible.
And then, monsoon heavy rain hit Yangon and lower parts of Myanmar, and hundreds of houses are flooded.
And for now, we just need to find some support.
Rice and beans and water and everything else that we can use to actually help and support those that are in need right now.
And to bring some food and corn, oil, rice to rent to them. So we're gonna pay bus to drive there to go and Jeremy. So please, guys, help us make that possible. We will be there to preach the gospel to and serve them in the community and my family too. So
this military code, the COVID-19 pandemic and natural disaster impacting all aspects of life in Myanmar, and thousands of lives are lost.
So, so by tomorrow we'll be going to the south part, which is Lekai, and also Jeremy to actually give the help and support to those that are in need. The needs of some food, water, getaway for them, and also some medical supplies. So we are, from the bottom of our heart, we are really asking you to help and support those that are in need right now with anything that the Lord may lead you to.
I beseech each one of you opens your loving heart and extend your helping hand to those who are in great need for their daily food and struggling for their survival. This is a great time to spread out the gospel of hope to thousands of people who feel hopelessness in Myanmar by caring their physical need and spiritual needs. Thank you so much for your love and prayers. God bless you.
Please pray for us to have faith and keep our faith to Jesus, because the end is come. Love you guys and love you Valley Church family.
So those are some dear friends of ours, and we start talking amongst our leadership team, and we want to help them specifically. You guys know that we're in the middle of paying for a building, and we started to raise $50,000 for our down payment. I think the last I heard, we were about $47,000, which means we're just about $3,000 short of that goal. So we were going to do one last push, but we're going to put that on hold because this need is bigger. And so what we're going to do is we decide as a team that all of our offerings from today and this week, we're going to send over there. And so if you feel led this morning to give in a specific way, whether it's this morning or throughout the week, you can do it online. You can give in the box that's over here. But we're just going to give all of our church offerings from today and from this week, and we're just going to give them. We're going to send it over there to those different needs that they have. As just one simple way. Again, giving money is not everything, for sure. There's going to be opportunities to go. There's going to be opportunities to actually go and be a part of this and be a part of sending others. So just this moment right now, though, what I want us to do is just want us to pray. So you can go ahead and you can join me in an attitude of prayer. You can bow your head, you can close your eyes as you just seek your own heart. Because this is my prayer for all of us, not just for these needs, but for the needs that are all around us, is that God would open our eyes to the needs around us, that He would open our hearts with His love and compassion, and then in a way that would open our hands to give to the needs that He shows us. So, Lord Jesus, we do thank You for all that You have given to us, all that You are for us. You are our provider and our sustainer. And we acknowledge, Lord, that everything that we have because of You. We don't even own it. Like, it's not even our stuff. Everything that we have is from You. So, Lord, when there's need around us in Myanmar and in Haiti, in Afghanistan, and so many other places, we want to answer that call to be a part of giving and showing love in Your name. So, Lord, would You just impress upon our hearts and what that looks like, how we can give, how we can serve, even if it's not monetary, but whatever that looks like for every single one of us. Or that we would tangibly live out Your love to those around us. And I pray, Lord, that there's somebody here today that has never felt that love, they've never experienced Your love in their life, in their heart, that today would be that day. Lord, we looked in 1 John about Your sacrifice for us on the cross, that You gave up Your life so that we could live. Lord, and You gave up Your life, You died on the cross, You were buried, and then 3 days later, You rose again. And You offer salvation to anyone and everyone who will believe and place their faith in You. So Lord, I do pray that right now, if there's somebody in this room that has never made that step, they've never placed their faith and their trust in You for salvation, they've never repented of their sins, that at this moment, right now, that they would make that decision. They would cry out to You for forgiveness in faith and belief in You. Help us, Jesus, to meet the needs that are around us. We commit this time to You, Lord. We commit this invitation moment to You. Help us, Lord, to place ourselves as if we're right there with them. Thank You for loving us. We pray for their needs. We pray that You would meet the needs in Burma and Myanmar. We pray that the walls of this military overtake would come down. We pray, Lord, for the needs right now in Haiti, the lives that have been disrupted, the homes that have been destroyed, the need that's there right now. We pray, God, that You would be the sustainer, the provider for them. And that any need or any that's met, any relief that comes, that they would acknowledge and see and know and understand that this is coming from You. Lord, for those right now that are in Afghanistan, that the tragedies that we see right now, we pray, Lord, for Your sovereign hand in that situation. Lord, that You would overcome evil, that You would tear down the forces of darkness that are going on there right now. That you would save and rescue and restore and heal. We commit these countries into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, would you stand together as we're going to sing, respond to the Lord. If you want prayer, I'll be right here. If you have a special prayer need, if you want to give, you can give right now. You can give through the box. You can give online. Whatever that looks like. But we just spend this time with the Lord.